Well, a couple of us this week were in conversation with a Vietnam veteran who has lived in a homeless condition here in our city for a number of years now. One of the gentlemen of our church has built a relationship of trust with this man, and he asked if he could have a conversation about spiritual things. And it struck me again as we met at a McDonald's early one morning this week that God doesn't give up on us. The fact that he only had one thing that he told Adam and Eve not to do, and that Adam and Eve went ahead and did that, but on that very day, God pursued a relationship with them. God wanted to continue a relationship with them, even though they had violated his only command. And then as you flip the pages of Scripture, you find prophet after teacher after leader that point the direction to God, try to invite people into relationship with God, and they kill those prophets and they ignore those leaders. And so finally God sends his own Son, Jesus Christ, to come and to show us the way to the Father. And so as we had that conversation at McDonald's this week, I asked this gentleman if he wanted to, if today was his day to pray to receive Christ, and if he wanted to step outside to do that, and he said, "I got nothing to hide. Let's do it right here." And he folded his hands and prayed a beautiful prayer of confession of sin and renouncing his past and inviting Christ into his life. And so I rose today on the platform. Celebrates that gentleman. And can I remind us on this 4th of July Sunday that each of us needs to personally come to Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, for the redeeming of our souls, for a personal reservation for heaven. Please understand that I'm not asking us to embrace everything that Christianity does or has done. I often feel a need to make this differentiation that we have Christ, we have Christians, we have Christianity. And the longer the word gets, the more confusing it gets. And I invite you to embrace Christ. And you can happily reject a lot of what Christianity does in the process, and that's okay with me and with Christ himself, I believe, because I have to believe that sometimes he looks down on his planet and says, "That's not what I left you there for, people," talking to Christians. "I bled and died for that. Come on now, let's get with the real program here." And so as I invite you to embrace Christ, it's okay if you don't like some of the big word Christianity, but please look to the founder himself, Jesus. You see, if it is true that Jesus Christ was sent from heaven as the Son of God to be born of a virgin, if it is true that he lived on this planet in a sinless condition and taught us the way to God and showed us the way to God, if it is true that the stripes that he bore and the death that he suffered was to pay the price for our sin, if it is true that he was the only person in all of human history to conquer death, never to die again, if it is true that he ascended to heaven to prepare a place for us and will come back in person someday to this planet for his bride, if that is true, then you better not ignore it. In fact, he invites us into a relationship with him that would cause us to not want to ignore it. So if you've not yet come to the place of beginning a lifelong journey with Christ, then there are those here today who would be happy to pray with you. Perhaps a friend who attends here or our prayer team who will gather up front afterwards. They would be happy to pray with you and help you. But please, don't let this 4th of July end without discovering the greatest freedom that is available to us. Now, if you have been with us in recent weeks, you're aware that we've just completed a stroll down memory lane. as Don Bubna, Morris Dirks, and Matt Boda did an excellent job of bringing the Word to us again. And due to this, I felt it was appropriate today to take us to a unique passage of Scripture, Ezra chapter 3. Ezra chapter 3, it's page 463 in your pew Bibles. 463, Ezra chapter 3, and if you turn there, that would be great. Some of you may remember that 4 weeks ago was graduation Sunday, and on that day we turned to Jeremiah 29 to find the nation of Israel defeated, the temple demolished, and the people deported into exile into Babylon. Their tendency, now as they were living in this foreign country, hundreds of miles away, their tendency was to not settle in, to live as transients. And Jeremiah writes them a letter that we looked at a month ago, where he tells them, no, you guys, settle in, be there, pray for the prosperity of the city, enter and bless wherever you are, but don't just live in this transient state. Well, decades have now passed. A new empire has emerged. Babylon has fallen. Persia has come to world power now. And the decree is issued that the return that Jeremiah prophesied. Jeremiah said, you will come back, but it's not going to be for decades. And so in the meantime, settle in. And that day has come now. Ezra, flip back one page to chapter 1, verse 1. Ezra 1:1, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth and has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any one of his people among you, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem. So the decree has been issued. You guys can go home, and what's more, you can start rebuilding the temple. And so as you look at the next verses, you get long lists of names and numbers of people that are actually taking them up on the deal, and they're coming back home to rebuild the foundation, to rebuild the temple that has been destroyed. That gets us to chapter 3, and they appoint priests, and they get the organization all together. Because it starts with people, not a building. And then we come to verse 7. They have an offering. They gave money to the masons and the carpenters and gave food and drink and oil to the people of Sidon and Tyre so that they would bring cedar logs by sea from Lebanon to Joppa as authorized by the king. And in verse 8, it's now the second month of the second year that they've been back. They had to get their own lives established first and get the organization together. Levites, 20 years of age and older, to supervise the building. Others gather together. They're doing this in unison. And you get to verse 10. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. I don't know if any of you are contractor type of guys, but how would you like when you're ready to start the next building project if there's the musicians that have gathered out there to celebrate the next building project that's moving forward? And so there's trumpets and cymbals and singers and with voice. Verse 11, with praise and thanksgiving they sang to the Lord, He is good, His love to Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple, Solomon's temple, wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard far away. Interesting story. You need to understand that their tears were appropriate. You see, the scene that they were seeing was reminding them that the beautiful temple was gone. The loss they had suffered was massive. The years of exile had taken their toll. The seasons of change had been hard. And not everything about the past had been good, but it was worth remembering and it was worth grieving the loss. But the rejoicing was appropriate as well. A new day had come. There was progress. There was hope. There was vision. There was potential. They were building once again. They were claiming the future. And so we have this mingling of emotion, of joy and sorrow. And sometimes they couldn't even differentiate what sound was being heard in the process. Following the Sunday that Morris was here, one of our longtime members expressed appreciation for the health of Salem Alliance. He made a comment that intrigued me, and I believe it to be accurate. He said, while he was grateful for the past, the Salem Alliance family is glad to be part of the present and is excited for the future. And we've always been that way, he said. I think he's right. We understand that we have and always will have issues. We're not perfect. In fact, that's one thing I like about Salem Alliance is we don't pretend we're perfect. But in many ways, we are healthy. Now, we better not take that health for granted. It's the simple principle that don't wait until you're sick before you start taking care of yourself. So health is something to be guarded, not just rescued. But I want to thank those of us who have made this the place of health that it is today. I admire the values that have been established. I celebrate your faithfulness through the years. And I hope that 1 Corinthians 15:58 is tattooed on your heart. Therefore, my dear friends, let nothing move you. Stand firm. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so I agreed with our long-term church member, and I think I can speak on behalf of the church as I say with him, we're grateful to those who were part of the past, we're glad to be part of the present, and we're excited for the future. That's how we need to live at every stage of life. We must not give in to a longing for the past that causes us to not fully live in the present and places a curse on the future. Are you with me? To live in the past wastes the present and curses the future. So here in this story, we have joy and expectancy, loss and sorrow, all mingled together for these people. Mixed emotions. But in it all, they kept moving forward. Pure faith. They kept taking steps to accomplish their mission.